Well, Harold, thanks for being here with us today.
Yes, hello.
Speaking with City Manager Harold Stewart here on Let's Talk Knoxville today, and we're going to just talk a little bit about some city affairs. During a special session for the council, there was some discussion about the properties that the city has bought, the disheveled properties, some of the stuff that has been torn down. And right now the city has actually put up signs for sale signs and signs indicating which properties they own. Can you talk about what the purpose of those signs is and how you will be proceeding with these properties now in the future?
Yeah, obviously, you know, the city acquiring these properties is an effort on the city and in particular is a priority of the council in trying to improve the aesthetics of our community and really trying to be involved in remedying some dilapidated properties. Many of these properties are properties that the owners are, for whatever reason, are no longer able to properly care for the property, whether it's economic reasons or personal reasons or whatever else. They just don't have the resources and the ability to take care of the property the way it needs to be. And a lot of the properties have dilapidated to such a point that they're probably not really even fixable anymore. And so we step in and try to help on the benefit of the community to try and clean those properties up. And part of the process typically in that is we usually do acquire the property. Most of these properties start as a nuisance issue, and so there's a lot of contact between city staff and the property owner with notices and those kinds of things that they need to address certain issues with their property. And then as time goes on, we discover that the property owner isn't able to address the issues. And often, one of two things happens. Either the property owner recognizes that they cannot address the issue and therefore usually offer the property to the city to resolve the issue. And so there's typically no acquisition costs in that, although there are occasions that we do pay some property taxes to catch those back up, et cetera. Except then the city doesn't bear the cost of usually asbestos removal, demolition, et cetera. The other option is that the property owner isn't cooperative and doesn't do anything to take care of the property, and then we usually acquire that property through a court process. Again, we don't pay anything other than the court costs, but we acquire the property that way on occasion. It's not as frequent or as often. So then once we've acquired the property, we've cleaned it up, our goal then is usually to get that property back in the hands of private property owners. We don't want to be property owners and landlords of property. So typically then what we'll do is if the property is big enough that a building can be built back on the property, we do advertise the property for sale, which is the new signs that you're seeing around town. We're also in the process of trying to create a comprehensive list of every property the city owns that is probably available for sale and the costs that we have into it, so what costs the city would be interested in selling that property back to a private property owner. And we'll maintain a list of that here at City Hall, and we'll have that list probably available on the city website once we get that ready. We're pretty close to having it ready, but it's not complete. There are, however, several properties that, because they're older properties, they do not have the size capable of allowing for a building structure on it. And that was some of the discussion that was precipitated at the special council meeting. And one of the ideas brought forward by one of the council members was, you know, is there something that we can do with those properties that provides a community benefit? And we talked about things from neighborhood community gardens to pocket parks, et cetera. And there seemed to be some pretty good support on behalf of the council towards some of those ideas and concepts. And so that's something that staff will continue to explore. We'll probably talk about that with a couple of the city committees, in particular probably the Parks Commission, and flesh those ideas out a little bit and come up with a recommendation that we can bring back to council. Obviously, if any of the public has any input or thought on that, we would definitely be willing to listen. And it's just a matter of coming and speaking with either myself or the assistant city manager. And I would be happy to take those ideas and that input on how those properties can be best used to enhance and improve the community of Knoxville.
Moving on to a different subject, I know that RAGBRAI finished up last month. We haven't had a chance really to talk since the RAGBRAI event, and you spoke about how it went from the city's perspective. I just would like you to share those thoughts, what you've heard from other riders, maybe some organizers, and how you thought it went overall.
Yeah, RAGBRAI was an exciting event. We finished up with RAGBRAI. We got a couple of days to rest, and then we're right into Nationals. And Nationals is important. That happens in our community every year. RAGBRAI will not happen in Knoxville every year. But it was a great event. We heard nothing but positive comments from RagBribe participants. And then after the event, I personally went downtown and talked with several owners and talked with businesses throughout the community, etc. Everyone, I think, had a positive experience with RagBribe. The crowds were well-behaved and gracious, and they also spent a lot of money in Knoxville. A lot of the businesses did very well. Had a night of revenues that they probably haven't seen in a long, long time. So about every facet, RagBribe was a huge success. I think Knoxville showcased very well, as we anticipated and as we expected. You know, we heard a lot of positive comments from RagBribe participants that, you know, Knoxville was the best planned and organized and laid out stop that they had seen. But I think most importantly, the comment that we loved hearing over and over and over again was how hospitable and friendly Knoxville was, how helpful we were. We really showed that we wanted RagBribe here, that we appreciated them being here. They didn't get that feeling in every stop that they were at. And so that was really what we were going for. And that's something that the planners and the organizers couldn't really plan or organize. That just comes as a natural byproduct of Knoxville and who we are as citizens. And that's one of the things that makes the whole RagBribe trip successful. That's one of the reasons why people come from all over the country and the world to ride RagBribe in Iowa, because Iowa in general has that, but in particular Knoxville has it very strongly, and that was very recognized and commented on frequently by the RagBribe participants and the RagBribe staff that organized that across the state. So I think Knoxville showcased very well. I know that, you know, we even had more business and activity the day after RagBribe on Thursday than probably most of us anticipated, with the bikers still coming through as part of the route and et cetera. And so it was really almost a day and a half of full activity. Again, I just want to express my appreciation to the community for really stepping up and showcasing themselves well and participating and making sure that event was a huge success. It took literally probably 1,000 or more volunteers and thousands of hours in volunteering to make that project a success. And Knoxville stepped up in a huge way and really showed in a very strong and positive light.